Good morning and happy Independence Day, July the 4th of 2024. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. On this holiday, it's going to be a mixture of new and old on the program. Coming up later on this hour, it is Thursday. That means another edition of North Star Knows. I'll be joined by Jay Cricks of North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds here on this Independence Day. So North Star Knows coming up at the bottom of the hour. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we're going to bring back a conversation I had with former United States Senator Doug Jones of Alabama. He was in Wausau recently. But to start things off, we're going to bring back a conversation I had recently as well with a candidate for the state Senate, District Number 12, Andy Rich.
Hi, Chad. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this opportunity.
Fantastic. And I said it. One thing about the state Senate, there, especially as you get towards the northern part of the state, there's a lot of ground to cover, isn't there?
Oh, my gosh. This district, I joke, I'm going to drive the wheels off my car.
Well, first of all, before we start talking about some of the different issues, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Number one, why are you getting involved in this? Why did you decide to throw your hat in the ring and become a candidate for office?
Well, I think it started maybe 8 years ago or so. I got involved in trying to protect our local waterways from a proposed mining project that was sure to devastate the local environment. And it was a real eye-opening experience for me because I kind of got to see how big of a role legislators can play in actually getting permits approved when the permits themselves don't pass the requirements safety to do so. And so starting with those battles and then finding out that we're the third largest PFAS site in the nation in my hometown here in Marinette, you know, you can only tell other people what you want them to do for you so many times before you realize that you need to step up and be willing to, you know, put your money where your mouth is and be willing to do it yourself.
That's a very interesting topic because often on this program here in Central Wisconsin, somebody that really is in the front lines of the fight for the environment and you talk about mining issues is Nancy Stensel. And I've had her on the program a number of times and I hear about how basically folks like yourself have to be on basically alert all the time because I would call, and that maybe it's unfair, but I'll call it the big polluters are always looking for that opening. And I imagine that, boy, over the last number of years, you've been forced to really keep a close eye on people. They're trying to, you know, trying to add to their influence and add to their power, because if you or people like yourself aren't watching it, there's way too many within the state legislature that are willing to basically turn their eyes the other way.
You are not wrong. And I could tell you some stories, man. We've been through some shenanigans from the corporate polluters. But I think, you know, there are so many people that are dedicated to following this and really, truly care. You know, on the one side, it's really sad that individuals have to step up and do this really difficult work without the funding, right? Because we're not profiting off of these efforts. And so there's no money behind it. But also, it's such a wholesome experience because I've met some of my best friends from these fights, you know, and you really find people with good character that are just doing it because it's the right thing. And so there's another aspect of it, you know, that's really gratifying. And I'm super grateful to have met a lot of these individuals like Nancy. Actually, she was here with the coalition for many years. She did a great job. And it's good and bad mixed. And we just try to focus on the good.
Let's also talk a little bit more about your background. You mentioned that aspect of your background. Are you somebody that has been a Wisconsinite for your whole life? Have you lived and worked elsewhere in the country? Maybe a little thumbnail sketch on your background.
Yeah, it's a little bit of all those things. So I grew up in a real small town called Porterfield. And pretty much all we had when I was growing up was a taxidermy, a post office, a train tracks, and about a half mile out of the downtown, which I just described all of the businesses, was a small elementary school. Now all that's left is a taxidermy.
Oh, What's it like living and growing up in such a small town? Because it's interesting, because yesterday I had on as a guest somebody that grew up here in the Wausau area but now lives in Milwaukee, and I wanted a perspective on what it was like living in Milwaukee after, of course, the comments that were made by the former president last week, and we talked about what it's like to live there. And now to have you here is the complete opposite. What did you learn living and growing up in an area like that that has made you the person that you are today?
Well, you know, I was from that generation. I grew up in the 80s, and we, you know, for sheer necessity, both my parents worked and we weren't allowed in the house for a lot of the time because they didn't want us to mess it up. So we were kicked outside, and it really, you develop this really a bond with nature, and, you know, it's a real wondrous place. And I'm going to say we were forced to go explore it, but really there was no place that we would rather be. So from coming home so dirty that we had to get hosed off before we could go inside to even take a bath, to, you know, swimming almost daily, we would do what needed to be done to get the bikes and the inner tubes up and float the river down. And I'm so grateful that I was raised the way that I was. And all of those experiences that I have as an adult, talking about them with other people, they trigger these fond memories of family vacations and, you know, little glimpses of those experiences. And I found that really it's quite powerful. And I think a lot of people have the same appreciation for Mother Nature. And so the older I get, the more grateful I am that I've been in the environment and had these experiences for such a big part of my upbringing.
You mentioned some of your work involving the environment. What else, in terms of your professional career, have you done in terms of maybe helping you be a good legislator?
Well, I came out of college around 2008, which was not a great time for looking for a job. Yeah. So I kind of bounced around. I did some kayaking. I took tourist groups kayaking. I lived in South Carolina for a little bit, and that was in Hilton Head Island. It was absolutely beautiful. Then I got into car sales, and that was really fun. I actually really enjoyed it. And I moved back to Wisconsin and got another job selling some more cars. And then I found out that you could actually travel for work and go repair roofs after hailstorms. So I did that for a little while, and that was incredible. And when a hailstorm hit my hometown, or just outside my hometown here in Peshtigo, I actually started at my own roof repair company and sold roofs and siding and windows. And from there, that's when I started to get involved with the mining advocacy, trying to prevent it. And it was quite a trying and scary time. And I decided that my livelihood was at risk. And so they had been calling me, asking me to get some trainings on this license that I had applied for several years prior to be an insurance adjuster. So when I was going around and replacing roofs after hailstorms, I was meeting an insurance adjuster at every one of these properties. And so looking into that, they also traveled a lot. I got my license for that. And this is where, you know, the helpful part comes in for state legislation, because I, as an adjuster, was responsible for interpreting the very difficult to comprehend and read legalese of insurance policies. And when I started to read the bills that they were proposing for different water situations and the firefighting foam, et cetera, it seemed like I was able to grasp what the bill was actually going to do a little bit better than some of my friends. And so it led to some really good involved discussions and some better understandings. And especially when they present the bills and then try to bring them up to the floor almost immediately before you have a time to get through it, that really comes in handy to be able to review it and understand it without needing to get the experts to help.
Let's talk about the district. And right now, Mary Felskowski is the representative, the senator for district number 12. And so often in these races where, you know, it's an advantage to be an incumbent, because basically in a lot of cases, the folks are deciding whether or not to rehire the incumbent. And then, of course, if there are some issues with the incumbent, then the challengers are looked at in an even closer way. When you look at the performance of Senator Felskowski, what jumps out about her policies that made you say, hey, we cannot afford to have another term in office for the current senator.
Well, it's really simple, Chad, and this is my opinion, but it boils down to this. When I look at the legislation that this woman is pushing for our area, she's not representing Democrats, but she's also not representing Republicans. The bills that she is bringing forward are gifts to big corporations, and they don't help anybody here.
Any specifics in terms of those bills? Because obviously, the bills that anyone brings up is an indication of who you're working for. Is there a specific bill that made you shake your head, maybe even a little more than any of the others?
Absolutely. So recently she proposed and it passed Bill SB 312. And basically the governor had to veto it. And now they're holding up $125 million of money already approved in the budget for people to test water to make sure that poison isn't coming out of their taps. And she's holding that up basically because we didn't pass, or the governor vetoed SB 312, which she claimed to be protection for farmers, but it wasn't just protection for farmers. It was protection for all anybody identified as a corporate polluter. And she was using that term loosely to lump farmers into that group when really the DNR has no intent to go after, you know, an unknowing and unparticipating farmer. And so she's trying to say that, well, let's not hold any of these polluters accountable because we don't want to lump in a poor farmer, which, yes, of course, we don't want to harm the farmers who had no part in this. But we can't just say, well, let's have the taxpayers pick up the bill for everything when there's corporations that have made billions at our expense, knowingly poisoning us, who should be coming to the plate and putting some of that money up to help fix this problem.
And we will come back in just over a minute and continue the conversation with District 12 State Senate candidate Andy Rich as we continue here on this Thursday, a special Thursday, a holiday Thursday. It is Independence Day. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
Dreamer, you know you are a dreamer. Well, can you put your hands in your head? Oh, no. I said dreamer, you're nothing but a dreamer. Well, can you put your hands in your
head? Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, a special Independence Day version of the program coming up a little bit later on this hour, a brand new edition of North Star Knows with Jay Cricks of North Star Restoration. But right now we're continuing our conversation with District 12 State Senate candidate Andy Rich. That seems to be a pattern in recent years in Madison where Republicans have basically put roadblocks in different areas because they feel that they know more than maybe those within departments in the state of Wisconsin, those that have studied and those who have become the top of their profession when it comes to trying to clean up the environment. When it comes to education, we've seen some similar shenanigans, I guess you'd call it, when it comes to funding for education with these roadblocks in order to, before the money gets to where it needs to go. And I wanted to ask generally about, you know, budget. We've had this budget surplus in the state of Wisconsin where it's still sitting there. A big chunk of it is still sitting there because it feels as though Republicans are trying to wait until they get a governor so they can pass another massive tax cut that goes disproportionately towards the most well-to-do in our state. When you look at the budget surplus, are there any specific areas that you would like to see that go in terms of either policy, you know, towards different areas of, you know, education and environment and those likes? Or do you have an idea that some should go as a tax cut? I guess I shouldn't answer for you. Where do you want that money to go towards?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. The problem is it's not that we have this budget surplus because we've been overtaxing everybody and everything's paid for and all the programs are caught up and taking care of people of the state. We have that surplus because when no perfect solution exists, the answer by our Republican-led legislature is to do nothing at all. And I think that we could be using those funds to bolster, you know, affordable childcare, to make sure that our schools are fully funded, to put towards the medical needs of communities, to keep some of these rural healthcare providers open where places are shuttering. You know, you hear these horrible stories of people having to drive hours for basic healthcare needs, and it's disheartening, and it's not the Northwoods that I grew up in. You know, it just feels somehow ignored.
Women's reproductive rights. That's another area that has been discussed over the last couple of years. And in fact, this week is in fact the second anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It's still an issue in the state of Wisconsin. It's gone in the right direction, at least more recently, after it was for the longest time where basically we were under an 1849 abortion ban. But in order for it to be truly fixed, it would have to be done through the state legislature. What are your thoughts on where we are and where we need to go?
I believe in protecting personal freedoms. The situations that they want to use as reasons to, you know, make choices for women and their families, you know, it most of them aren't based in reality. And the ones that are incredibly rare. And even then, you know, it's such a hard choice, right? Nobody's pro-abortion. It's pro-choice, because every abortion is a tragedy, and it's not something that's taken lightly. And usually it's not something that's wanted when they talk about these late term, right? It's almost always a health concern, or there's a problem, or it's not viable. And to say that the government should be making those decisions, I just don't understand how that's even an issue that Republicans are on the side that they're on, because they're always the ones that say we're pro-freedom and, you know, we don't want big government telling people what to do. So why would you go in and make a blanket statement of what you want to happen when there's all these microcosms and concerns and personal stories? And, you know, these are heavily weighed decisions that people should be making with their families and their doctors, not the government stepping in and telling people what to do.
Again, we're talking to Andy Rich, candidate on the Democratic side for the state Senate, District number 12. Again, it covers a huge portion of northeast Wisconsin, including parts of Marathon County, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. You mentioned education and education funding. And another aspect within the education discussions in recent years, led predominantly by the Speaker of the State Assembly, Robin Voss, is the idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I was having a discussion on this program earlier today, and basically another United States Senator, Ron Johnson, again brought that into a conversation on Capitol Hill this week. What are your thoughts on DEI and the continuing discussions that have really bubbled to the surface, I think in large part because of comments by those on the right when it comes to DEI and funding that has affected the University of Wisconsin system?
I feel like if you're really the party of freedom, why are you so concerned about what other people are doing in their own personal time? Let people be people. Lead with love, not with hate. These policies are driven from fear and anger. And I just don't understand why we would try to develop any policy around those ideals. It's such a more beautiful place when people just love each other and don't need to get into everyone else's business. If it's not hurting you, leave it alone.
That's actually a very interesting point in 2024, where we stand. And in a lot of ways, it's hard to believe that in 2024, we're still having a lot of these discussions, whether it's women's reproductive rights or whether or not, whether or not diversity is somehow a good thing or a bad thing, that we're having these discussions. As we look today and maybe looking forward, let's have a positive point of view that you get elected over the, and let's say you have a couple of terms to have a chance to change the way that things are working right now. As you look forward, What would be an ideal to try to look forward to maybe in 10 years' time to change where we are right now? Because as you said, we do have a lot of fissures within our communities and within our politics right now. And it's not easy and it's not something that one person can fix. But what is the road forward to try to bring more respect and love and personal freedoms to the people of Wisconsin?
Let's stop wasting our time talking about made-up issues. I mean, everybody by now, I'm sure, has heard that the whole cat litter debacle was completely fabricated. And how many weeks was that a story in the news? And all it did was promote fear and anger and, you know, disgust. And it wasn't even a real problem that was happening. It was completely made up. So my goal would be to focus on real issues. And I know that that can be, dangerous word to use, but I mean, let's really focus on what we all need. You know, like we said with the surplus in the budget, it's not because things are all caught up and done. There's so much that's just being ignored. We call it the do-nothing legislature in Wisconsin. We've dropped to 40 in economy. Let's focus on things that we can agree on and we can move forward instead of using these divisive issues, mostly based in rhetoric, hatred, and lies, to argue that we should be doing nothing at all.
Andy Rich, State Senate candidate. Coming up, it's North Star Knows, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO. And on the Civic Media app. It is Thursday. It may be a holiday, but it's still Thursday. It is Independence Day. And whether it's Independence Day or any other Thursday, we're always very happy to be joined by North Star Restoration and North Star Builds for North Star Knows. And even on a holiday, we get the big man himself, Jay Cricks. Jay?
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Happy 4th of July,
happy,
my friend.
Happy Independence Day and happy 4th of July. And it's always great to have you on board. It's been a wonderful. I mean, I lose track of how long. I mean, because the weeks are going by so quickly these days.
Yeah, we're coming up on 5 months.
Holy cow. I mean, it really goes by fast. It's hard to believe we are now past the midway point of 2024. Yeah. Time just flies. But again, it's a great time of year. It's a great chance to celebrate. It's a great chance for people to get together and enjoy this important holiday, year number 248 for the United States of America. But we're going to talk about a few other things that people need to know about when it comes to the 4th of July, right?
Well, we don't want a celebration to turn into a disaster.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, a lot of, and the thing about it is sometimes you go be out there, you're having a good time, you're having the food, you're having a few drinks, but you still need to focus, don't you?
You need to focus. You need to keep an eye on the kids as well.
And also, it's about, there's some proper ways to go about it. Yeah. And if you go into it, frankly, it's similar to how we have talked about other topics. It's about having a game plan. It's about being proactive instead of being reactive.
Exactly. So when it comes to the, you know, a lot of us are going to be lighting off fireworks today, you know, and, you know, shooting off bottle rockets and lighting off some firecrackers and maybe playing with those fountain sprinklers where you light them up in the middle of the driveway and it makes the big fountain of sparks and smoke. And, you know, we're even going to let our kids run around with some sparklers. And, you know, I think making sure that you've got proper setup and handling is key on a day like today. Making sure that you're keeping an eye on the little ones that are running around with those sparklers in hand and making sure that we're not setting up those fountain cones too close to a structure.
And so today we're going to basically have a special Independence Day episode. We're going to talk about the proper handling and safety measures for fireworks, transitioning then into the importance, as North Star always is, professional intervention in fire damage restoration. And hopefully you won't need North Star. You won't need any professional intervention. But again, it's important to talk about it first. And so everybody's ready to go. Obviously, I mean, it sounds obvious.
It's common sense.
Exactly. But obviously there are, you know, as much fun as fireworks are, as much fun as any of the, even the smaller ones, there always are some risk involved, aren't there?
You know, actually, the some of the smaller ones are actually the ones that cause some of the most damage to homes and structures. Obviously, the big ones, the ones that go boom, the ones that you light off in the mortar cannon shells that you, you know, you light them off and they go boom, those can cause a lot of damage to your person. Obviously, if you're standing too close to it and it explodes before actually going up in the air. So you always want to be careful with proper setup and handling. You want to make sure that you're setting all of your fireworks and using your fireworks as a safe distance from any structure, from bushes, trees, just anything that could light on fire. You want to make sure that you're not pointing those items in that direction. You know, just follow the basically, there's going to be safety guidelines usually printed on the box of most fireworks that you can buy. But a lot of it really just comes down to common sense. A few years ago, we had a fire that was caused by a sparkler. Little one had a sparkler in hand, went in the house, was talking, and set it down. Next thing you know, now we've got things on fire. So it's like I said, even the smallest, you know, piece of fireworks could do the big damage.
And it's a combination as well of, obviously, the most important aspect is the personal injury, the personal damage. And then there is the property damage. And as you said, there could be so many different ways of property damage, whether it is outdoors with trees and things outside. But then, of course, as you said, it can also be, you know, within a structure as well.
Yeah, so even the small stuff, it's a lot of bottle rockets are powerful enough to shatter a window. So, you know, it might not burn the house down, but it could certainly bust out a window pane. Same thing with Roman candles. I've seen where Roman candles have been shot off and that ball of fire lands on the roof. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, now, you know, we've got some burnt up shingles. Maybe the entire home did not catch on fire, but the potential was sure there. So you just got to be really careful around structures and where you're pointing these things, because sometimes, you know, even with a bottle rocket, you could set a bottle rocket off. It could go get lodged behind a piece of vinyl siding, and it's in there smoldering. Well, and you don't even know for 20, 30 minutes until something's you got heavy smoke pouring out. So it's just a matter of common sense. Make sure you're in an open area, not pointing things at, you know, structures, bushes, trees, anything that could catch on fire, not at vehicles, obviously, but just having a lot of, you know, safety.
Yeah, I mean, basically, again, it's having that plan. It's making sure that, again, if we go out, and a lot of folks are going to be going out tonight and going out and enjoying you know, fireworks that are done
professionally.
Professionally. And what they do, you should still do it. I mean, you should not take short. Again, it's something we talk about quite a bit on this program, is that you don't want to take shortcuts when it comes to building your home or maintaining your home or anything else. Don't take a shortcut when it comes to launching these fireworks, because that's going to lead to the problems, just like the problems come when you aren't prepared and all these other things we've talked about over the last number of months.
If you went out and you bought a large display and you're going to do a show for the neighborhood or for the family up at the lake or whatever, just make sure you're setting stuff up properly and making sure you're pointing it in the right direction. That's really what it comes down to, you know, from the biggest display all the way down to just keeping an eye and maintaining, you know, where the kids are and if they do have sparklers or even those little snakes that you light on fire that coil around. If you light that on the wrong space, you know, a cushion, a cardboard box nearby, it could light something on fire. So just being very careful. You know, it is one of the number one days of the year where we see not only bodily injury and people are heading to the hospital because they, you know, everybody hears about it, blew a finger off. But there are a lot of fires on this day as well.
And look up. Look at where the wind is going. Because there's a lot of little things that can affect, especially, you watch when these things are launched up and you see how the wind will take it one way or the other. You don't want to have it. You say, oh, I think we're far enough away. And you launch. Also, you see it being pushed, as you said, towards a roof or towards a building or towards an area of woods. Again, take that little bit of extra time. That's before, because you're still going to enjoy it. You're still going to have a lot of fun with the family and your friends. But just take that one little bit of moments, because you don't want to look back and say, oh, if I would have just taken that 25 seconds more to be able to avoid my home being burnt down or having being injured in any way. I can't emphasize enough that we talk about this in so many different ways about just having that game plan.
Yeah, have the game plan. Have fun, celebrate, enjoy the day, and really, you know, just be safe out there.
Also, again, there are rules. There are rules out there. You need to make sure that you
follow them
and be aware of them. Again, being ignorant of the rules is not an excuse. You have to make sure that you are ready, because, again, all these communities and again, it's for safety. I mean, there's a lot of fun to be had, but there can be a danger aspect as well. And the rules are there to try to make sure that you, your family, your friends are safe. And we don't have to look at July 4th in the future as something that reminds us of something bad happening.
Exactly. We want it to be a celebration. So what do we do if something does happen, though? What what if that sprinkler does get that sparkler does get set off or set down in the house? What do we do if the window does get shattered from a Roman candle or a large bottle rocket? What do we do if the roof catches on fire? So I guess, you know, first things first, make sure, prioritize getting people out and making sure that if the house is on fire, obviously you want to get out of the house, and then obviously you want to call the authorities.
Right.
Get the fire department over there if need be. But once, I guess, the smoke settles or the dust settles, what are the next steps? And that's kind of what we can talk about next.
Jay Cricks is with us here on North Star Knows, North Star Restoration and North Star Builds, as we do it every Thursday here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And again, before we continue talking, again, reminder that, as Jay said, I mean, we've been doing this for multiple months now, and so many great different topics that we've been talking about, and they're all available again on our podcast page. You just go to bowfallsradio.com, go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows page, go to the Chad Holmes Show, and then on Thursdays you'll see it'll be labeled right there with North Star Knows, and so much great information that we've been able to go through over the last number of months with Jay Cricks and John Garcia and the rest of the folks at North Star Restoration and North Star our bills. But again, there, like we talk about with all these other issues, there is basically a checklist when you get to the point. Again, we don't want to get to this point where there's a fire or some damage, but what do you need to think about first?
Well, I think we've got it. You're talking about for lighting off the fireworks?
Well, you were saying beforehand that we were getting to the point about fire damage.
Oh, for going backwards there. We're moving forward with this show, not backwards.
No. It's like, but if there's something we missed that you wanted to talk about, definitely throw that in there as well.
No, I think we're good on that part. So I guess first things first is, you want to do a damage assessment. Take a look at the property and document everything that happened. So if there's fire damage to the exterior of the structure, make sure you're taking pictures of that stuff. Make sure you're documenting it as well as possible. Write down kind of what happened, because if there is insurance involved, they're going to want to kind of interview you and ask you what happened. Sure. So you want to, in the heat of the moment, you're going to want to write things down as soon as that's over, because as time goes on, your memory fades. So if something were to happen, quick, right away, document it, take some pictures, write down everything that you can think of on what led up to that. And that way you have that information when the insurance company asks you, how did this happen?
Do you at North Star deal with this kind of situation very often?
Almost with every claim, some way or shape or form, the insurance company is going to ask you, how did this happen? So you just have to tell them, whether it's your basement that flooded or you left a pan on the stove and your kitchen started on fire. You know, no matter what it is, they're going to want some background information so they can kind of determine if there's coverage or not.
And that's one of the areas as well that, basically one of the platforms that North Star has is to let your insurance company know that North Star's on the job, because you know all the right pieces of information that an insurance company is going to want in these kind of circumstances, right?
Exactly. So what's going to happen after you take pictures yourself and write everything down and you've done your own damage assessment, just so you can have an understanding of what you're going to do next, you can call a professional like us and then kind of relay that information to us. We'll obviously get out there right away, and we're going to help with that process as well. We're going to take some more pictures. We have a really cool 3D imagery camera mm-hmm. that we'll bring in. If the interior of the home suffered some damage, we'll do a 3D scan of the interior of the home sort of to preserve the scene. So if there's smoke damage throughout the home or if there's some fire damage throughout the home, we're going to help figure all that stuff out, document it, make our notes, take lots of pictures, do a 3D scan of the home. If there's extensive smoke throughout the structure, we can build a soot map where we go in through and we're doing testing on the walls, seeing what rooms are affected, what rooms aren't affected. And as we gather this information, we help build a case basically mm-hmm. to make, okay, insurance company, this is what we found. They're obviously going to have an adjuster come out. He's going to do a lot of the same things. But if we've been there already, we can help collaborate with them and sort of inform them of, okay, this is what we found. This is what we, you know, this was the source. This is where it happened. And this is how we feel we need to move forward.
No surprises. I wanted to ask you as well, as you were talking about that, came into my mind, maybe an example of something that an insurance company needs to have that you've heard either from somebody else that's dealt with the insurance company, maybe even back when you're first getting going, maybe something that people need to know that, hey, in order to get reimbursed, obviously that's mm-hmm. the number one thing you want when you have damage in any way. What is something that has happened where an insurance company says, unfortunately, we can't do it because you didn't recognize that this is important?
Well, you know, moving too fast sometimes can be a bad thing. So what happens is sometimes people will start cleaning up everything right away, basically erasing the evidence. Mm. So now maybe they didn't take pictures and then they cleaned it up right away. And now it's like, well, how do you know how to compensate the homeowner as the insurance company if they've already cleaned everything up and they didn't really document the process? Now they're just making a phone call and saying, okay, this is what happened to
me. You have to believe me.
Right. You have to believe me. So sometimes moving too fast is not a good thing. You want to, you know, take the right steps. And that's where having a professional involved can really make a huge difference in how the claim is processed.
We're going to go away for 1 minute and come back with more here on this Independence Day edition of North Star Knows with Jay Cricks, North Star Restoration and North Star Builds here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. It's North Star Knows here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes along with Jay Cricks of North Star Restoration. And Jay, again, we were talking again about, you know, it's sort of in the aftermath.
Yeah.
We hope that nobody has to deal with the aftermath.
Correct.
But again, it's so important to do the right things in the aftermath, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of touched on it in the previous segment that, you know, after something happens, we're usually inclined to jump in right away and start cleaning up the mess, you know. And that right there is a good thing, normally, right?
Right.
Hey, something happened, let's just take care of it. But if there is going to be insurance involved, if there is going to be contractors involved and money paid out, that's the time to pump the brakes and start the documentation process. That's where, you know, you want to snap some pictures, write your ideas down, write down exactly what happened, call your insurance company, and then get a restoration company over there right away. Especially if there is some sizable structural damage and the home needs to be boarded up. That's one of the services that we would, or a restoration company would take care of is, you know, if there's a hole in the roof from a fire, or if, you know, windows are broken or whatever, say the fire department had to come over and, you know, cut a hole or bust out some windows and shoot some water at the house. There's a few things that could happen at that point.
I think the underlying what you just said as well is getting the restoration company involved. I think mm-hmm. probably a lot of folks, the first idea is, well, maybe I can take care of this in some way. But the best way to do it, to be the safest way to do it, is to call you first, right?
Call us and call your insurance company. That's the safest way to go about it, because that way, you know, we know all the boxes that the insurance companies want checked. Typically, especially if this is over a holiday weekend, it might be hard to get a hold of your insurance company. But we've got crews on call 24/7, 7 days a week, and on every major holiday. So people are available
and also
to help you through the process.
And also to do it right,
yeah,
you need the right equipment.
And you, sure do.
And you at North Star and others as well have the proper equipment. And again, people may think, hey, I can probably clean this up. Boy, there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Typically, they get about a fourth of the way through the project. And they're like, man, maybe I shouldn't do this myself.
Right.
You know, let me call somebody up. And that's common, too. You know, we can jump in.
We all want to be able to do things ourselves,
right? Absolutely. We want to be self-sufficient and make sure that we're taking care of our own stuff without having to call somebody sometimes. But, you know, sometimes it is best to, you know, do the process, call the insurance company, call the restoration company, you know, do the emergency mitigation portion. So if there is, you know, smoke in the home, we can pull out your textiles and your garments and stuff like that. We can get you some clothes washed, get you set up for the next couple of weeks. If you don't have a place to stay, if the home's not, if you can't stay in the home because of the amount of damage, we work with different companies to help find a place to stay. If you've got family in the area, great. But typically a homeowner's policy is written in such a way that you've got an additional living expense. So if you're not able to use your home for a little while, you can go somewhere and, you know, stay in a hotel for the first couple nights. And then there are temporary housing companies in the area that we can put you up, and then start the process, get the house cleaned. But first things first, make sure you're safe, make sure you've got your necessities, clothing, and a place to stay. Those are the first couple of steps. After that, we typically will meet with the insurance company and the homeowner on site, and we start doing the scope or the walkthrough. This is where we're taking a look at things. Now, even leading up to this, depending on the severity of the fire, we might drop a couple pieces of equipment in the home, like an air scrubber, to start purifying the air, because nobody wants to go back into a stinky structure. Now, there might still be some odor, but if we're putting an air handler in there to start purifying the air, it'll be a safer environment when people do return. Obviously, you're going to want to wear a respirator or some PPE, the buzzword in the last couple of years. Right. Everybody knows what PPE is now. But you're going to want to put something on so you're not inhaling that particulate that's floating around in the air. Some of that stuff can be pretty carcinogenic, and you just want to make sure that you're protecting your lungs and your respiratory system if you are re-entering a fire-damaged structure.
And you have the equipment to do that. I mean, the bottom line is you want to get this back to where it was pre-fire.
Yep.
And frankly, you and others who work for you know what needs to be done.
Yep.
Again, it's
smoke is a
it can be there's a lot of
very complicated.
And then, frankly, for lack of a better term, a lot of layers to it.
Yeah, a lot of layers.
A smoke, but also a lot of layers in terms of fixing things up.
Absolutely. So, you know, it starts really with that scope and going through the home with a fine-tooth comb and making sure that everything that was damaged by the fire and the smoke is either removed, cleaned, or replaced. So that's kind of like the three things that we're looking for. Getting the damaged stuff out there that's not salvageable, cleaning the stuff that is salvageable, whether it's the structure or the contents themselves. And we have a full contents processing facility back at North Star. We have about 33,000 square feet in our back warehouse area is where we, when a home has a fire, we go to their house, we pack out their cleanable belongings, and we bring them back to our facility. And that's where we can clean and process everything from your garments to your knickknacks, to your furniture, to your electronics. We are a full service company. This is something we haven't talked about leading up to, you know, with all of our shows, but we are, that is another service that we offer. So we have actually a company we haven't even mentioned on the show yet called North Star Content Services.
Oh, you have more.
Yes, we, behind door number three.
There you go.
Exactly. So we can handle all the contents, everything from your dry cleaning to your, you know, your crystal glasses up in your cupboard, everything. We handle it. We pack it all out. We've got, you know, a team on hand that deals with the entire pack out process. We've got a team of cleaning people back at the warehouse that deal with cleaning and processing all this stuff with specialized equipment and products. But then back at the home, we'll have another team there taking a look at the structure. So once everything's packed out and we've got a good idea of the complete scope of work that needs to be happening, then we can start either removing building materials, cleaning the building materials. If stuff is too charred, we'll replace those, you know, internal timbers or framing materials. If it can be cleaned, we'll clean it and seal it. And then the process of, you know, cleaning and deodorizing the home begins at that point. So that's a whole nother phase. All the while, you're probably staying in a temporary house. If the home is livable, then if it's just a light cleaning, we could probably get in, clean stuff on site. So it really varies depending on the severity. But we'll talk about a severe one. So once everything has been packed out, the structure is clean, and we've already agreed to the scope of work with the insurance company, then we're really moving right along. At that point, it could be a couple weeks, might be, you know, several weeks at this point.
Right.
But at some point, we're going to get to a point where we're ready to start putting the home back together again. So that that's a whole nother process right there.
We got about a minute to go, and I guess the bottom line is here, in order to avoid what we just heard from you in the last 7 minutes or so, is tonight or for your little backyard parties
this weekend,
do the right things.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the bottom line. We don't want, you don't have to call Jay and the insurance companies and everybody else.
No, you don't want to have to do that. But if the unexpected does happen, we're here when disaster strikes. We're ready. We've got teams on call, ready to go. And hopefully you don't need us. But
good to know you're there, though.
We're here if you do.
Hey, Jay, again, thanks for having a special July 4th edition.
Happy 4th of July, my friend.
It's been great to have you on board again. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
That's Jay Cricks from North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. Again, North Star knows every Thursday. And again, as we've talked about before, go back to the podcast because
I noticed we're getting some good download numbers too.
Fantastic. Yeah. Terrific. Because, again, lots of great information with Jay and John and everybody else at North Star. We're going to come right back and have more here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.